Long ago,
a deep rasping voice began,
the war between the Infernali and the Malaika destroyed our world.
Slowly, the pair of creatures grew smaller, and Rorik realized with a start that he was moving away from their combat dance, gaining a wider vantage point. He was flying, though he had no proper body. The land stretched out below the volcano was crisscrossed with streams of lava and filled with hundreds of thousands of the winged creatures, both light and dark, some wielding glowing or flaming weapons, others throwing elemental attacks, and still others leading charges with armies of strange chimeras. The noise and chaos of large-scale battle rang in his ears. The smell of fire and slag and death burned in his nostrils. Then it all faded away.
While the younger races, humans, elves, and rogs, chose their sides,
light exploded, shining down on a human in obsidian plate armor and a taller, willowier humanoid creature with azure skin and pointed ears. The Liuko travelers had stories of elves, pointy-eared, fair-haired children of the forest, and the azure-skinned creatures certainly fit the bill. The pair of them knelt before one of the winged demons. Without warning, the vision receded and vanished, giving way to an identical scene of a female elf and a muscular green-skinned humanoid with intricately carved tusks and gleaming boxy armor, the Rog, kneeling in the brilliant glare of a winged angel,
and accepted their divine and infernal magics.
By some enchantment, Rorik saw the two scenes playing out at the same time now, side by side. As one, the demon and angel reached down, touching the beings pledging their service. Bright white light and deepest shadow flared and consumed the images.
"We Olms hid away in our mountains,"
the rasping voice said,
"trusting our intellect and cleverness to protect us while we waited for the war to end and peace to fall once again."
Rorik watched as a group of what looked like upright aquatic salamanders filed into the darkness of a mountain cave, paddle-like tails hanging from the bottom of their flowing robes. Only one stopped and turned his round, slime-coated head back to look over his shoulder at the surface world he was leaving behind. This salamander man closed his blue eyes sadly and followed his kin into the depths of the earth. Then Rorik was deep in the darkness of a cave where the salamander people, Olms, he reminded himself, stood around a glowing green table with arcane symbols etched into its granite surface. They wore ornate circlets fitted with gemstones, leaned on elaborately carved staves, and held thin pen-like sticks in hand. These sticks they waved over flasks that flashed bright pink, toxic yellow, or intense blue.
But in the end, the hearth tired of waiting for their arrogance and stupidity to cleanse them from her world.
The battle at the volcano returned, though this time the humans, elves, and rogs had joined the fight. As the Infernali and Malaika hacked and slashed their way across the sky, the land-bound armies cut one another down and incinerated each other on the lava-crossed field of combat below. Suddenly, a deep thundering reverberated across the battlefield, and the armies on the ground were shaken from their feet. Smoke billowed from the volcano's cone, quickly followed by chunks of porous rock and gouts of lava. The burning slag pummeled the winged Infernali and Malaika like a sentient rain, glomming onto their flesh and burning them out of the sky.
However, she couldn't, or wouldn't, cleanse the scars of their fighting left behind.
Rorik found himself looking out across the wreckage of a once handsome citadel, much like the one he'd just died in, but fresh, with the ruined bodies of combatants strewn across the rubble.
Nor would she banish the misbegotten creatures the Infernali and Malaika created in their pursuit of victory and domination. Some say she left them as a reminder of the price of arrogance.
An enormous golden boar, the size of a house, with golden tusks, barreled through a village, smashing homes and businesses, while townspeople ran screaming from the destruction. All around, blue-skinned changelings pillaged dwellings and ripped into panicking cattle with their black claws and serrated teeth.
Now, revered heroes among the younger races, fight the unnatural abominations the Great War left behind.
A party of warriors stood on a wide plain, an azure-skinned elf in shining plate mail, a coppery-haired woman in a dark hood and black leathers, and a pale-skinned elf in purple robes looked on while one of the green-skinned rogs inspected a heavy set of tracks in the grass. The rog's topknot shifted in the breeze as he stood and pointed at the columned ruins of a temple ahead. Some great predator roared, and the scene shifted to an underground lair where the same party attacked a huge leathery creature with gray skin and stringy white hair. It hurled blasts of infernal energy at them while cutting and hewing with the same glowing, long-bladed scythe the winged Infernali had wielded in the air. The rog and the dark elf in the shining plate mail ran in, one from each side, swinging a thin, elegant blade and a thick, cleaving longsword, respectively. Each time the warrior sustained an injury, the purple-robed elf waved her hands in an intricate pattern, another form of the mysterious air writing, Rorik wondered, and a bloody purple nimbus would surround them, healing their gashes. The black-clad human disappeared from the fray in a puff of shadow, only to reappear at the creature's back. The smoky shadow curling off the human's form brought to Rorik's mind the patch of darkness which had shot him from the citadel wall. Devious. He couldn't fault the assassin's method. It aligned well with his personal policy of stealthy victory over forthright defeat. But he did long to appear behind her and sink his Lyuko dagger into her kidneys. In a flash of rapier and dagger, the assassin scored the monster's hide, then disappeared again. The behemoth roared, sweeping the scythe toward where she had been, but far too late. The rog adopted a martial pose, slim blade pointed at the colossal beast, then cried out,
"Stance of the Cleansing Lotus Flame!"
The rog lunged, and its blade slashed through the behemoth's abdomen, orange flames eating away at the creature's flesh from the wound. With a shing, the dark elf's longsword sliced through the behemoth's thick neck, and its head thudded to the stone floor, rolling away.
"And as always, to the victor go the spoils," the rasping voice said.
Behemoth dead, the party of warriors sorted through the gold, jewels, and weaponry piled around the underground lair. But when they came to the creature's infernal scythe, the assassin, dark elf, and rog all turned to the fair elf in the purple robes. One pale hand reached out and grasped its thorny obsidian handle. Arcs of infernal energy crackled through the air. The elf's white hair billowed around her like a corona, and her eyes flashed deepest amethyst.
"While the young childish races seek glory, fame, and power in the extermination of these infernal and divine miscreations, we step out of our caves once more."
Back at the mountains, an army of Olms filed out of the caves, squinting against the setting sun. This time, however, the salamander people were clad in jangling silver mail set with gemstones. Glinting silver swords hung from their belts, and they carried staves and those slim magical sticks. Rorik itched to get his hands on one and study how their magic worked.
"We will bring the chaos under rein once more."
The image shifted to squads of the Olms subduing unruly humans and elves and leading a top-knotted rog to a headman, axe raised and ready. Next, a small envoy of them stood before a king. No words were uttered, but the sovereign slowly left his throne and knelt before the strange lizard folk.
"And return order to Hearthworld by any means necessary."
The leader of the Olm envoy looked directly into Rorik's eyes, and he realized this was the same salamander who had looked back sadly on the warring world as he left it behind. The salamander's faded blue eyes flared suddenly with aquamarine light.
"Will you be with us or against us?"
Blackness faded in until all Rorik could see was the glowing blue eyes, then they faded as well. Number one most played VR MMORPG in the world since 2068, a line of brilliant gold text screamed through the blackness. Rorik flinched away instinctively, expecting a magical attack. Then realizing he had no body in this void, he relaxed and studied the letters more closely. The first line of text disappeared, replaced by a second.
Four-time virtually real top pick.
Then a third.
MMORP Gamers Choice Awards 6 years running.
A single eerie note drifted through the blackness like a feather on the wind, deftly turning into a haunting melody, accompanied by the scent of smoke and molten earth.
Hearthworld.
While his mind was still struggling to discern the intentions of these spells, Rorik abruptly found himself wandering bodilessly through a bustling marketplace. The streets were filled with vendors under colorful canopies, their wooden stalls showcasing weapons, armor, jewelry, gemstones, food, and drinks. Warriors, assassins, sorcerers, and soldiers of every shape, size, and color combination wandered through the market wearing a mishmash of armor, robes, and helms of varied quality. Rather than attacking one another, or the olms walking among them, the people chatted amiably, negotiating with the vendors, and even bartered with one another for more powerful items or items that more closely matched the ones they already wore. They all seemed sentient, and were clearly capable of speech. Interesting. Fearing that he already knew what the outcome would be, Rorik tried to speak, to get the attention of any of these people so that he could demand answers that the feather-banded changeling hadn't been bright enough to supply. But of course, without a body to form the words, the effort was fruitless. The golden text returned, stretching through the air of the market while warriors, sorcerers, and assassins walked beneath, seemingly unaware.
Great Rog Plains. Rising sun casts diamonds on dewy grass. Expansion now available. For a limited time only, $59.99. Visit Batori Bronzo, renowned Rog blade maker, in the marketplace, or access the Hearthworld online store to unlock.
As Rorik struggled to understand the foreign meanings of so many words he'd once wielded with ease, a strange feeling of dissolving overtook him, similar to when he'd leapt into the portal but with nowhere near the amount of pain. The writing and market vanished around him, leaving nothing but blackness behind. And from the blackness came one blood-red word.
Respawning.
Chapter 6. Mystic Grimoire.
When Rorik opened his eyes again, he was standing knee-deep in black ground fog, facing the ruins of the ancient citadel. He felt a brief moment of relief at having returned to a corporeal body, but that bubble popped when he realized it was the ungainly, disproportionate changeling's body rather than his own. Blue leathery skin, knobby knees, spidery limbs, and claw-tipped fingers. Around his waist, the dirty loincloth waved softly along with the swirls and eddies of the fog. Having seen the other inhabitants of this plane decked out in armor and armed to the teeth, Rorik would have given quite a lot for some sort of combat gear of his own. At least the pendant he'd stolen from the Tyrant King was still firmly in place around his neck. Rorik turned in a slow circle, searching the derelict courtyard for any sign of sentient life. There in the shadows of the crumbling staircase, the feather-banded changeling stood swaying and bobbing like a ship on the great sea. At regular intervals, the creature grunted to no one and pointed into the wisps of black fog. Rorik frowned. That hardly counted as sentient. He dismissed the swaying changeling from his mind and stole over to the pile of rubble that connected to the gap in the citadel's wall. A few awkward moments of scrambling later, he heaved his potbelly over the side and dropped to the ground in the graveyard once more. Rather than the cat-like landing he had envisioned, something went wrong and he landed in a tangle of disproportionate arms and legs. Rorik croaked indignantly and picked himself up. His body was taking a lot of getting used to for what so far felt like an exceedingly small reward. If he hadn't already realized that this was an entirely different world from his own, he would have wondered whether Merrick had somehow imprisoned his mind in this clumsy body as a form of torture. All around the tombstones and crypts, desiccated corpses tagged shambling revenants shuffled and groaned. They walked constantly, yet seemed to have no particular destination in mind. They shuffled a few steps in one direction, then turned around and retraced their paths back to where they'd begun. It didn't bode well for finding an intelligent source to speak to. Still, after a few minutes' observation, he noted one shambling revenant that followed a slightly wider variety of patterns through the graves and crypts. Three, to be exact. First, around a cracked crypt to the far gate and back. Then, to a dead tree near a wrought iron fence and back once more. And finally, a shuffling beeline toward the gaping door of a mausoleum. This revenant had a cracked black wood bow slung over his shoulder, a quiver full of black fletched arrows, and the tattered remains of a very scraggly beard on what was left of his jaw. He scanned the graveyard for any bands of heroes like the ones who had shot him down earlier. None in sight. Rorik trotted over to the bearded revenant, trying to imbue the tiny changeling body he was stuck in with some amount of his accustomed agility and at least a pinch of dignity. The effect was something like a two-legged gallop, though the pace was hardly fast enough to do the word justice. The bearded revenant had just begun its circuit of the dead tree when Rorik caught up to it. He fell into step with its shuffling gait and attempted to get its attention.
"Can you understand me?"
he croaked up at it. The shambling revenant opened its mouth, waggling the strings of beard attached to what was left of its decaying throat as it prepared to speak. Rorik's heart fluttered with excitement inside his bony bird chest, and then sank as the bearded revenant let out a long, meaningless groan identical to the groans of the rest of the revenants lumbering around the graveyard. The rotting creature continued its shuffle toward the dead tree. Worthless creature. Rorik sighed and left off following the creature.
"Can anything in this world understand me?"
he muttered to no one. At least it was becoming more intuitive to speak. He was going to need a way to amuse himself, as he slowly went insane, surrounded by useless creatures with no concept of communication. In a way, this wasn't so different from the last 20 years of his life. When he wanted answers, he'd had to search them out alone. When he wanted to do something, he'd had to teach himself how. In all the meaningful ways, this was that. He had to figure out what in the hells this world was and find a way back to Corvo. And he would do it the way he always had, on his own. He had made a promise to the Tyrant King that he meant to fulfill. If the creatures here couldn't carry on an intelligent conversation, perhaps he could find his answers through other means. A world with tombstones was a world where at least some form of marking the dead took place, even if it didn't stick, as evidenced by the shambling revenants walking the graveyard. Perhaps he could find a grave marker whose symbols or letters could still be read. That would be a start in any case. Rorik crept through the dewy grass and began searching the closest tombstones for legible markings. Their pale surfaces were weather-pitted and rough, overgrown with lichen, and many were cracked in half, obviously carved from stone too soft to stand the centuries. Though the moon above was shrouded in a film of oily black cloud, Rorik found his bulging, changeling eyes had no problem seeing clearly. Each tiny, flat finger of lichen stood out in perfect contrast to the eroded stone from which it grew, but he couldn't find any discernible pattern on the grave markers. To be certain he hadn't missed anything, he ran his leathery blue fingers over the rough, pebbled surfaces, but couldn't detect any design or writing carved into them. He had nearly reached the end of one haphazard row when he spotted a dull gleam in the tall grass beside a crumbling mausoleum. He waited impatiently as a female revenant shambled past. She wore scanty, tattered armor that protected precious little, then loped over to inspect the source of the gleam. There, by the corner of the mausoleum, lay a rusty sword easily twice as long as his scrawny arm. The blade curved subtly along its back, and its cutting edge pitched inward toward the hilt and outward nearer the point. Weighted correctly, a blade like that could chop with all the momentum of an axe while maintaining the maneuverability of a sword. He picked it up, excited to test its construction. Immediately, his vision was filled with ethereal writing. Rusty Falcata. One-handed damage, 9 to 15. Durability, 25 of 30. Level requirement, 1. Blade class weapon. Medium attack speed.
Very strange.
He could feel the weight of the sword in his hand, but he couldn't see the weapon. No. Now some sort of semi-translucent book hung in the air before him, commanding his field of vision to the exclusion of almost all else. True, on the peripheries of sight he caught a sliver of the graveyard, dewy grass here, crumbling mausoleum there, and a bit of leathery blue changeling wrist, but mostly it was the book. There were several ribbons running along the top of the tome, each one elegantly labeled with a bit of flowing script. Inventory, maps, quests, skills, spells, character, party, followers, wiki lore, chat. He squinted, studying the blank pages before him. Yes, definitely a grimoire, he decided, and it seemed as though this Falcata was now bound to it in some way. Rorik desperately wished that he could reach out and turn the pages, but there didn't seem to be regular pages to turn. So instead, he read through the words on each of the ribbons again, this time more slowly. He quickly realized that each word burned with a faint golden light as he focused on it. He slowed himself down and began again. He glared at the ribbon marked inventory, and a new page opened before him. His breath faltered inside his chest. Incredible! On the left-hand page of the grimoire, there was an image of a changeling. But not just any changeling, of himself, he instinctively knew. And not merely a painting, but a perfect floating simulacrum, slowly rotating in a circle. This vision of himself wore a dirty loincloth and gripped the curved sword in one dirt-caked hand. He was a hideous creature, really. To the right was a strange grid of boxes, most of them open, though a few were filled with items. Threadbare loincloth. Rusty Falcata, World Stone Pendant. As Rorik skimmed each item, a slowly rotating image appeared along with various details about the item. The loincloth was self-explanatory, and the Falcata's description was a repeat of what he'd already seen. But the World Stone? The image rotating slowly before him was the amber pendant he'd taken from the Tyrant King, its intricate silver setting gleaming as if under a bright light. Fascinated, Rorik devoured the description like a starving man presented with a feast. Worldstone Pendant. Durability. Indestructible. Level Restriction. 1. Property. Soulforge. Imbue the undead with life and will. Current Worldstone Authority. Greater Vassal. 0 of 1. Property unknown. Property unknown. Property unknown. Property unknown. Property unknown. The World Stone can bend, shape, and distort reality, allowing the bearer the power of creation and life itself. Vassal, as in serf or thrall. Maybe the rumors of the Tyrant King's necrotic army hadn't been baseless after all. Maybe that was how the bastard had amassed such a huge fighting force in so little time without tipping off the Council of Ancients, by raising the dead to fight for him. Dismissing this thought, Rorik navigated to the next page. Maps. Maps of an area can be purchased from cartographers or learned with the cartography skill. Useless. He tried the next. Quests. You currently have no active quests. The skills and spells pages were equally empty. Rorik focused on the ribbon marked character, opening the page. Character overview. Name. Rorik. Level, 1. Gender, male. Player class, none. Type, troll hybrid. Alignment, infernali. Current experience, 0. Next level, 440. Health, 32. Health regen per 5 seconds, 3. Infernali magic, 100. Magic regen per 5 seconds, 1.75. Attributes. Weapon damage, 10. Attack damage, 40. Base armor, 10. Armor rating, 40. Movement speed, 0.5 times speed of opponent. Critical hit chance, 5%. Critical hit damage, plus 50%. Stats. Strength, 10. Constitution, 10. Dexterity, 10. Intelligence, 10. Worldstone Authority, Greater Vassal, 0 of 1. Worldstone Authority, Lesser Vassal, 0. Undistributed stat points, 0. Troll Special Skills, Rapid Regen, 50% resistance against normal weapons. Player Special Skills, none. Rorik felt like a child staring at a slate full of letters for the first time. The words and numbers slipped through his mind, neat, orderly, and completely meaningless. The ring of steel filled the air, cutting through his attempt to puzzle out the page's meaning. Instinctively, Rorik slammed the book shut with a thought and searched out the source of the sound. On the far side of the graveyard, a new band of warriors was attacking. A pale elf with dual swords chopped a shambling revenant in half, while a burly rogue, female by the shape of her armor, hacked into another of the walking corpses. Outside the stone retaining fence, a human archer looked on, picking off revenants from afar. Rorik watched in disbelief as the revenants scattered throughout the rest of the graveyard continued to trace their familiar paths around the tombstones and crypts as if nothing were amiss. Buffoons. Did they not realize that if they all turned on their attackers, the fight would be over in moments? Apparently not, since even the revenants closest to the fighting appeared oblivious to the crash of battle just yards away.
You're under attack, Rorik croaked to the female revenant as she passed. At the gate, enemies!
He jabbed a clawed finger toward the entry. She groaned and shambled on without even drawing her sword. Rorik ran to the bearded revenant.
Look!
He grabbed the revenant's arm and yanked him around to face the battle.
Your yardmates are being mowed down like wheat, but if you all launch a counterattack at the same time, you'll overwhelm these invaders easily. To arms, man, to arms!
An arrow thudded into the bearded revenant's skull. The revenant looked from side to side, the shaft of the arrow waving back and forth with the motion, as if he couldn't tell where it had come from.
They're right there! Rorik shouted, stabbing the Rusky Falcata at the rampaging fighters. Are you blind, mate?
The Rog and Elf had pushed deeper into the graveyard, and the archer followed them inside, but the attack was poorly coordinated, suicidal given the number of undead opponents. If the shambling revenants weren't such morons, these invaders would be dead already. Rorik tested the weight of the Falcata in his hand, fingers itching for the familiar lightness of his penknife. Maybe with his magic and time to prepare, he could take these armor-clad heroes. But caught unaware with nothing but a rusty sword more than half his size? No. This battle was lost. Rorik turned and sprinted as fast as his tiny changeling legs would carry him back to the breach in the wall. He scrambled to the top, casting a glance back over his shoulder before climbing down the opposite side into the ruined citadel. The warriors were closing in. Chapter 7. Poner Boner 007. Rorik hopped from the rubble pile to the citadel's muddy ground, landing awkwardly on his strange legs and sending wisps of mist swirling and eddying away. A quick glance around the inner bailey showed nothing but scattered debris from battles long finished, nothing that would provide a sufficient hiding spot. The little bit of shadow the feather-banded changeling was loitering in hardly covered half of the swaying creature. It would never conceal both of them. The crash of weapons and shouts of battle grew louder behind him. The party of warriors was decimating the graveyard. Soon, they would make it into the citadel. The crumbling staircase leading deeper into the belly of the citadel was his only option. There was no way of telling what lay at the bottom, but anything was better than being cut down out here with no time to prepare a defense. He didn't know whether there was a limit to how many times this world would resurrect him, and he didn't want to find out. Pumping his short legs, Rorik dashed over to the staircase.
Raiders coming!
He croaked at the swaying changeling. The changeling grunted and swayed, feathers bobbing in time with his movements.
You're going to be killed if you stay here, Rorik snapped.
Another grunt, this time with a finger thrust in the general direction of nothing to underline the futility of Rorik's struggle to communicate. Days' worth of anger, frustration, and failure boiled over inside Rorik, and he grabbed the changeling by its leathery shoulders, shaking it savagely.
You dolt! If you don't—
Those thin white letters appeared above the changeling's head. Current Worldstone Authority, Greater Vassal, 0 of 1. Use Soulforge, yes or no? The properties of Soulforge raced through Rorik's mind. Imbue the undead with life and will. This changeling hardly seemed undead, but if he could imbue it with will, then at the very least the creature could find a better hiding spot. This wasn't the best time for an experiment, but in spite of the threat, he was curious to see how the Worldstone worked. With a thought, Rorik selected yes. Against his leathery bird chest, the pendant turned ice cold, and the cloudy stone at its center flared with bright amber power. Rorik found the same amber light bleeding from beneath his hands. He let go of the changeling's shoulders, but the glow remained, a glaring, tawny handprint tattooed against the creature's blue skin. Overhead, the thin white letters declaring the creature a changeling disappeared, replaced by a name, Kazko. Then before Rorik's eyes, a new prompt appeared. Kazko has become your greater vassal. On the heels of this, another of the nonsensical pages of information materialized, this one in the followers section of his strange grimoire. Troll overview. Name, Kazko. Level, 1. Type, changeling. Current infernali points, 0. Next level, 440. Attributes. Health, 32. HP regen per 5 seconds, 3. Weapon damage, 10. Attack damage, 22. Base armor, 10. Armor rating, 22. Movement rate, 0.5 times speed of opponent. Critical hit chance, 5%. Critical hit damage, plus 50%. Special skills, rapid regen. 50% resistance against normal weapons. Whatever sense could be made of these pages would have to be puzzled out later. Rorik imagined slamming the book shut, just as he'd done earlier. The feather-banded changeling was still there, but its wide eyes met Rorik's with an unmistakable new awareness. An arrow sailed past Rorik's face, clipped one of Kazko's black feathers, and thudded into the citadel wall behind them.
Over here!
A human voice shouted.
I've got eyes on two!
With a rusty creak and the clanking of heavy chain, the portcullis across the bailey rose. Rorik didn't wait for them to make it inside the citadel. He grabbed the changeling's leathery arm and dragged him down the crumbling staircase. As they descended into the bowels of the citadel, Rorik searched for some place to hide. The stairs led down into dank darkness, but quickly opened up on a sprawling antechamber. Torches in heavy iron sconces were spaced throughout the room, giving off a flickering orange light that illuminated tapestries lining the walls. The floors were wide, even flagstones, worn by the passage of time and countless feet. Here and there, stained-glassed windows portraying scenes of beautiful black-winged women glowed with what must have been magical light considering their depth underground. A handful of changelings sat on a human-sized table, guzzling from tankards and fighting over scraps of food. More wandered the length of the chamber, as if they had a particular destination in mind, while others scratched their asses and stumbled blankly along. One even lay against the wall with an empty wineskin in one limp hand, snoring contentedly. Hanging from the ceiling were purple-furred beasts with large leathery wings. The white letters beneath their heads declared them reaver bats.
Invaders are coming!
Rorik croaked, his voice echoing in the underground chamber.
Prepare yourselves!
A few of the changelings raised their eyes to him, but these went immediately back to fighting over table scraps. Rorik cursed himself for getting optimistic just because the Worldstone had managed to imbue one changeling with sentience. He jogged farther into the chamber, Kazko keeping pace beside him.
"What do I have to do to explain to them that they need to fight or they'll be killed?"
he asked. The feather-banded changeling blinked his bulging eyes slightly out of sync and seemed to struggle for the words.
"You cannot,"
Kazko finally said in a voice like the deep, gravelly croak of a bullfrog.
"They not like Kaz. They like Kaz was before stone."
He reached out, his fingers stretching toward the amulet before falling back down.
"Low level."
He grimaced and shook his head.
"No choice. Choices for exalted level."
He drew the word out as though with reverence.
"Them and Floor Boss. Floor Boss give orders."
He shrugged narrow shoulders.
"We follow orders. Unless we no die, then..."
He paused, searching for a word, a phrase.
"Then we gain level. We change. Become independent."
He cast a sheepish glance at Rorik.
"Like Kaz. Floor Boss?"
Rorik asked, mind racing as they made their way down a connecting side passage.
"Will he help us?" "Oh, no, Master."
He shook his head frantically.
"He will punish us for abandoning our posts. I'm not your—"
Kaz grabbed Rorik's arm and jerked him into a shadowy alcove behind a rusted suit of armor holding a leaning tower shield.
"We got spawns!"
A human's shout echoed through the underground chamber. Rorik peeked around the corner of the shield. The archer stood at the top of the stairs, firing arrows at the creatures below. A nameplate appeared over the archer's head. Poner Boner 007. Little red bars appeared above the changelings and reaver bats the arrows hit, the red emptying as blood spilled and the creatures' lives drained away. One affected bat swooped down from above, and three wounded changelings rushed up the stairs growling, but just like before in the graveyard, the rest of the creatures seemed oblivious to the attack. The archer, Poner Boner 007, took out one of the charging changelings, but backpedaled as the reaver bat swooped down at his head. The bat slashed with oversized talons, managing to score a line across the archer's forehead and right eye. A red bar appeared above Poner Boner 007's head, though only a minuscule fraction of its color seeped away from the attack. Though they appeared preternaturally tough compared to the creatures in the antechamber, these invaders could be injured after all. Interesting. Rorik hefted the rusty falcata in his hand, watching the archer for an opening. But just as it looked like the bat and remaining changeling might stand a chance against Poner Boner 007, the heavily armored elf burst in from the staircase and cut the changeling down like firewood. A moment later, the bat dropped from the air, pincushioned with arrows. The Rog warrior came jogging down the steps a moment later beneath the nameplate Rogstar Kel.
"Great job, Kelly. Take your time,"
Poner Boner 007 sneered.
"I had to pee,"
the Rog snapped, her ornately carved tusks bobbing in time with her words.
"I told you jerkwads to wait."
"Come on, you guys. I've only got two more hours,"
the elf warrior, Dude Farkowitz, said, raising his dual swords and resting one on each shoulder.
"Let's just get this place cleared out so I can level enough to wear my plague fist gauntlets."
A sadistic grin stretched across Poner Boner 007's stubbled face.
"All right, let's pop some mobs, son."
At the archer's word, the trio of raiders swept across the floor like a ravaging tsunami, chopping down changelings and hewing reaver bats from the air. Occasionally, a changeling or bat managed to score an attack on one of the warriors, draining red from their overhead bar. But when the loss was too significant, that warrior dropped back and pulled out a glowing pink potion seemingly from nowhere. After gulping it down, their red bar refilled, and they waded back into the slaughter. Then as the party was finishing off, the final changeling, the one that had been snoring drunkenly when Rorik first entered, the heavily armored elf designated Dude Farkowitz shouted in pain and jerked away from the wall.
"Stone salamanders!"
he yelled, hacking wildly at the wall with his swords.
"Look out, guys! There's stone salamanders all camoed up in here!"
A red bar hung beside the wall over some creature Rorik couldn't see. The elf seemed to have found it, however, because two messy swings later, a slate-gray creature the size of a large dog tumbled from the wall, where it had been perfectly disguised to match the stone, and lay dead on a threadbare rug, its head nearly hacked off. The party began scouring every surface, searching for more of the salamanders and stabbing every shadow. The tower shield had hidden Rorik and Kaz while the raiders were distracted, but Rorik knew it wouldn't stand up to such close scrutiny. They would have to make a run for it. Little by little, the raiders were closing in on the suit of armor concealing them. Rorik could feel the feather-banded changeling beside him trembling as Kaz shimmied along the wall of the alcove, inching toward the torchlight at the edge of the shadows. It was obvious that every inch of Kaz wanted to break into a mad dash.
"Wait,"
Rorik whispered, his grip tightening on the rusty falcata. If Poner Boner 007 wasn't distracted, then the archer would shoot them down like flushed-out quail as they ran.
"Wait for my signal, then run."
Kaz whimpered, but quit edging away. The party closed in. The Rog warrior, Rogstar Kel, was closest to their alcove, diligently searching the stone walls, while the elf watched the opposite side. The archer was at the center, scanning the ceiling and the corridor ahead and letting arrows fly whenever he thought he saw something. Every muscle in Rorik's body tensed as they drew nearer. What he wouldn't trade for a triggered explosion spell. Unfortunately, he was going to have to settle for a changeling-sized mishap. Kaz shook and shivered beside him, desperate with fear and ready to run.
"Wait,"
Rorik mouthed. Finally, they came into range. The Rog's gaze caught Rorik's eyes a split second before he barreled into the back of the armor with all the might in his tiny changeling body. The Rog's shout of warning turned into a startled grunt as pieces of suit and the shield flew at her with an unholy metallic clatter. She threw up her sword and sliced at the offending iron instinctively. Behind her, the archer and elf both spun to face their newest attacker.
"Now!"
Rorik croaked at Kaz. The feather-banded changeling sprinted out of the alcove and down the corridor as Rorik rushed the archer. Poner Boner 007 managed to get off one arrow, an off-balance shot that twanged into the wall behind Rorik. Then Rorik was too close for a bow. His falcata might not have been shiny and new like their weapons, but it was perfectly balanced. It swung with the force of a full-sized axe, but sliced through the air like the small sword it was. Rorik slashed at Poner Boner 007's ankles, opening a gash in his right boot and tripping the flustered archer. Poner Boner 007 went down in a jumble of arrows and cursing. Rorik ducked under dual blows from Dude Farkowitz's swords and dashed off down the corridor after Kaz. Shouts of,
"Little turd!"
and
"Get him!"
followed behind. The thud of running boots and clanking armor rang out behind Rorik. He willed his stumpy, mismatched legs to run faster, but he could feel the raiders catching up, their long strides eating up the distance with ease. Kaz appeared in the doorway at the end of the hall. When he saw Rorik coming, his eyes opened wide and he started shaking his head.
"No, master, this—"
Rorik blew past Kaz into the room.
"No way out,"
Kaz finished with a gulp. The room was barely larger than a cell, and Kaz was right. It was a dead end. Rorik searched the walls, floor, and ceiling frantically, but found only unyielding stone. Nothing to hide behind. The Rog slammed to a stop outside the door, grabbing the elf before he barreled inside.
"Wait, do you think there's some kind of trap?"
she asked.
"On level one of, like, the newbiest dungeon on the northern coast?"
the elf scoffed.
"I mean, have you ever seen mobs run like that before? There's gotta be something special about them."
"Nah, look at them, Kel. No elites, nothing."
"But that one's got a weapon,"
the Rog insisted.
"When have you ever seen a changeling with a weapon? Those little jerks use teeth and claws, period. Plus, look at their tags. Rorik? Kazco? That's straight up quest fodder."
"So they're quests," Poner Boner 007 said, elbowing past the elfin Rog. "Who cares? Let's waste them, and we'll wiki who to collect our reward from later." Shrugging in silent agreement, the larger two warriors followed the archer into the room. Rorik swallowed hard as they fanned out, trying to herd him and Kaz into a corner. Rorik knew from long years of combat experience that he couldn't let himself be cornered. He had to take out the biggest threat and hope that would open up an avenue of escape. The archer again, then. He was the only one who could cut them down from a distance without taking any damage, and the one who was blocking the best angle to the door. Rorik lunged at Ponerboner 007, swinging his rusty falcata. An arrow thudded into the meat of his leg, making it weak with pain. The filigreed vial appeared in his vision, nearly a sixth of the red liquid draining away in a flash. But at the same moment, his blade chopped into the archer's wrist. Rorik spun on his uninjured leg, slicing across Ponerboner 007's guts this time and knocking his bow out of the way.
Punk-ass little growler!
Ponerboner 007 shouldered his bow and drew a spike-studded mace and a fragile-looking rapier from his belt. Rorik darted in for another blow while the human was vulnerable, knocking off a fraction of Ponerboner 007's already disappearing red bar.
Eat steel!
The former archer screamed, taking a massive overhand swipe with the mace. Rorik backpedaled. He tried to catch his balance, but Ponerboner 007 pressed his advantage, slicing the rapier through the air after him. Behind Rorik, Kaz cried out in pain, surprising him. He'd forgotten he wasn't fighting alone here. There was another changeling to worry about. Another changeling basically helpless and fighting two well-armored and heavily armed warriors. He glanced over his shoulder and saw Kaz's rapidly draining red bar flashing a critical warning. A spark of panic ignited in Rorik's mind. Kaz was the only creature he'd gotten any answers out of since the portal dumped him off here, and there was no telling if this world would resurrect the changeling as it had him. He had no idea what the rules were for greater vassals, and the only creature he could ask was about to be killed. In his moment of distraction, the spiked mace slammed into the back of Rorik's head, knocking him flat. Sparkling white worms squirmed in the corners of his vision. He blinked, stunned. His filigreed vial was three-quarters empty and his falcata was gone. Ponerboner 007 stood over him, raising the mace for a killing blow. If ever there was a time for desperate measures, this was it. With one black claw, Rorik carved a spell into the flesh of his left arm. Cantrips worked in flesh were dangerous, and he ran the risk of casting its deadly effects upon his own body, but it was all he could think to do. The air within 10 feet compresses rapidly, then ignites. The letters were clumsy from his dazed state and awkward from the stubborn resistance of his leathery blue hide, but Rorik punctuated them as the mace fell. He squeezed his eyes shut, waiting for the cantrip to backfire and his entire body to combust, showering the walls with red. A boom and a flash of light shook the cell. When Rorik opened his eyes, the archer lay on the floor, the last of the man's red bar draining away. It flashed as it hit zero. Ponerboner 007 was dead. Rorik tried to rise. He'd killed before when forced to, and knew that getting up would be that much harder once the weight of what he'd done crashed down on him. But his legs wouldn't hold him, and he dropped back to the floor in a heap. His own filigreed vial was dangerously low, barely a sliver of red remaining. The cantrip must have taken it out of him. Something to remember for the future. Cast too advanced a spell in blood, and he'd be dead too. Stumbling and lurching, Rorik managed to regain his feet. On the opposite side of the cell, Kaz had picked up his rusty falcata and was laying into the downed elf. Close by, the Rog staggered drunkenly and blinked her yellow eyes. At least Rorik wasn't the only weakened one. Her red bar was nearly gone as well. He launched himself at her muscular shoulders, biting and ripping with tooth and claw. She dropped her sword and tried to tear him off, but Rorik slashed the remaining red from her bar before she could extricate him. She fell to the floor, dead, a look of disbelief frozen on her green-skinned face. Rorik spat, suddenly aware of the coppery taste of blood in his mouth. That little bit of animal savagery was going straight into the nightmare vault. Golden light flared in a halo around Rorik, and an ascending chime sounded from nowhere. Strength returned to his limbs, and the aches and pains of the battle smoothed away in a rush of warmth and vitality. As he watched, his filigreed vial refilled itself completely with the mysterious red liquid. "Level up!" a line of glowing golden text shouted at him.
"We won?"
Kaz mumbled at his side. He shook his head, sending the feathers in his leather band bobbing with confusion.
"But Kaz never wins. Kaz always dies. Kaz has never leveled up before. What do we do now, Master?" "First, I already told you I'm not your master," Rorik said, brushing his hands off. "I've got no taste for kings or tyrants, mate. I'm just Rorik. That's it."
"Rorik," Kaz grunted, nodding slowly. "Rorik," he said more slowly, tasting the word. "What must we do now, Rorik?"
"Now, I ask you a lot of questions and you teach me everything. If I'm going to survive on this world long enough to find my way back home, then I need to know how this place works."
He glanced down at the cantrip etched into his arm, greenish changeling blood oozing from the letters.
"And I'm going to need some supplies."
Chapter 8. Troll Taboo. Rorik rubbed the back of his neck, feeling the hairless flesh of a changeling rather than the scruff of short-cropped hair he was used to, and stared down at the bodies. It had been kill or be killed, and he wasn't sorry that he'd won. It just took a few moments to settle with taking a life. As it settled, Rorik sized up the archer. The elf and Rog were both comically oversized, but the human... Rorik lifted Poner Boner 007's right leg and tugged at his boot. Kaz gasped.
"What is Rorik doing?"
"It's not as if he's going to need it,"
Rorik said a touch defensively.
"This citadel is a lightning rod for raids. I've been in this world less than a day and I've already been through two. We're both going to need some weapons and armor if we want to survive."
Ignoring Kaz's incredulous stare and gaping jaw, Rorik turned back to the task at hand. A grimoire page opened on his left, this time listing the items currently on the dead man's corpse. 2 gold pieces, a slender rapier of the falcon, and a pair of leather boots, while his own inventory opened on the right. Rorik concentrated on the leather boots. They promptly leapt from Poner Boner 007's page into Rorik's inventory.
"Efficient,"
he murmured, selecting the remaining items. And without the usual mess that came with looting the corpse of a fallen enemy. He dismissed Poner Boner 007's now blank page, then turned to the Rog and began emptying her inventory. 2 more gold pieces and a Kaiken dagger.
"No,"
Kaz said, his bulging eyes blinking wildly. The feathers on his head shuddered as he shook his head.
"No, no, no. Trolls cannot loot heroes. Heroes can loot other heroes they kill, yes, but trolls? No! What will the heroes do when they return, Rorik? They will have no items to retrieve."
Rorik dismissed the Rog's inventory and turned to Kaz before the changeling became too agitated.
"You're saying they'll be back?" he asked. "This world resurrects their kind as well?"
Kaz nodded, wringing his hands.
"In 3 hours, they will respawn and return for their belongings. But what will they retrieve if Rorik takes it all?"
"Is there a way to ensure they stay dead?"
Rorik asked, frowning down at the bodies.
"A sealing or ritual, perhaps?"
"No,"
Kaz said, shaking his head.
"Hearthworld is not the hero's home. The heroes dwell outside Hearthworld and only venture here to fight or explore. They cannot be forever dead here."
"So they're interdimensional as well?"
Rorik wondered whether the same rules of infinite resurrection applied to him.
He gestured at Kaz. "What about you natives? Changelings and shambling revenants and the like. Are you resurrected after death?"
"Kaz respawns every 2 hours if he dies. Same for all low levels."
Talking about something other than looting the hero's bodies appeared to make the changeling forget his distress at Rorik flouting decorum. Rorik glanced at the elf's unlooted corpse, wondering what sorts of armor and how many gold pieces it held. but decided the best course of action would be to keep Kaz talking a while longer before sending him back into a panic.
Before, you said there were exalted levels. How does one get from here,
Rorik pointed at his bird-like chest,
to there? Difficult, Kaz said with a grimace. Very difficult. Trolls must win to level up. Kill the heroes and survive. Kaz has never done it before, but now that Kaz leveled, he will be more difficult to kill. And to level up again, he will have to kill even more heroes. Each time Troll levels, he must win even more to level again.
This information tumbled through Rorik's head, interlocking like gears.
It's an exponential system, then, he said. The more one advances, the harder it becomes to advance again.
Even more difficult, because until Kaz reaches level 4, if he dies, all levels are gone.
Kaz slashed his hands through the air in an X to demonstrate the loss.
But if you do reach level 4, Rorik prompted.
Kaz's eyes shone.
Evolution,
the changeling whispered reverently.
Kaz could become a Thursar. Strong, mighty, no longer puny and weak.
Thursar? Rorik asked.
Rorik has not seen the evolutions? It is in the character screen.
I must have missed it.
With a thought, Rorik opened the grimoire and found the page marked Character. At the bottom, the page was dog-eared and marked with a hooked arrow, as if to invite a page turn. He focused on the arrow, and a new page appeared. Troll Evolution. Level 1, Changeling. Thursar Path. Level 4, Thursar. Level 8, Elite Thursar. Level 12, Brute Thursar. Level 16, Behemoth Thursar. Level 20, Night Thursar or Elemental Thursar.
Reaver Path.
Level 6, Reaver. Level 10, Elite Reaver. Level 15, Dread Reaver. Level 21, Champion Reaver or Shaman Reaver.
Jotnar Path.
Level 8, Jotnar. Level 12, Elite Jotnar. Level 18, Soul Cursed Jotnar. Level 26, Defiler Jotnar. Level 36, Exarch Jotnar or Infernali Jotnar.
A chart showed the potential evolutions trolls could take if they survived long enough. At level 4, they could become Thursars, the muscle-bound brutes of troll kind, and would continue on down that path for the remainder of their lives, gaining strength as long as they continue to level up. If they waited until level 6 to evolve, they could choose instead to become Reavers, a sort of troll assassin or rogue with some access to infernal magic. Both interesting, but neither Rorik's style. He moved on to the third evolution. If he held off evolving and somehow survived to level 8, he could become a Jotnar. These were the troll ruling class, the most powerful, able to wield the strongest infernal magics. Rorik closed out the grimoire.
Have you ever known a Jotnar, Kaz? He asked. Oh, yes, Dungeon Lord Azebek the Cruel is a Jotnar Exarch, Kaz said,
glancing from side to side as if searching for any ears that might overhear and carry his words along to the Dungeon Lord.
Azebek is a great and mighty ruler. Azebek's infernal power fills the citadel and all cower before him. It is an honor to do the Dungeon Lord's bidding without hesitation, and all who do not receive a just end.
Rorik had seen the same anxiety in the faces of the people of Traben as they sang the praises of the Tyrant King, as if they could protect their families from destruction if only they sounded loyal enough. For the time being, Rorik decided he would leave the subject of the Jotnar Exarch alone. At the moment, Kaz looked as if a good sneeze would stop his heart. Anyway, the changeling would have enough anxiety to weather when Rorik finished the job of looting the elf. He scratched his chin, as smooth and stubbleless as a newborn's, but significantly more leathery, considering the possibilities of this new world.
So if I'm to survive, I need to keep leveling up.
Yes,
Kaz said. And to do that, I must kill these interdimensional heroes.
Yes,
Kaz nodded. Rorik paused, forehead furrowed in thought.
And what if I kill other trolls or monsters?